Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. This is Jim Dolan. Thank you for joining us. This week, some true crime on the RTC Weekly Download. We'll start off with Squad Room, a true-to-life enactment. This episode is from the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. And in 19 minutes or so, we will ride with Unit 99.
Squad Room, Lieutenant John Douglas. We are what we're raised up to be. I believe that's the way that old saying goes. Now, this case certainly went a long way to prove it. The Uniform Division got a routine complaint at 12:01 a.m. to investigate what was supposed to be a routine H&W, husband and wife. It turned out to be this. You killed him? Come on, come on. Blood all over your kitchen apron. This man, look up at me.
Yeah.
Jonas Parle. Is this man Jonas Parle your husband?
Yeah, I kill him. With meat knife, I kill him.
This is your meat knife from your kitchen here? Well, is it?
I turn our supper on stove. You get out of here.
What's your first name?
Yeah, I killed the papa.
I asked you your first name.
What you want from me? Maria. What you want? Let him be buried, and I'll be punished. I hate him. 25 years. We go now, huh? To prison. No. First I think I wash. No, I no wash no more dishes. It's cold outside. I take coat. We go. Goodbye, mister. Goodbye, papa. You no good man. Drink all the time of booze. Ma, she works so hard. Mr. Policeman, I'm not sorry, no. Now you be ready? Come. Come, you punish me. He beat me. One time too much. I know, kid.
He beat you? Is that why you pushed that knife into his stomach?
It could be me down floor if he got hand on knife first.
You fought? Fight? You two had a fight?
Only to my son. Well, he come home, he find out. You come?
Sergeant, make the notifies. Post a man on guard. Yes, Mrs. Parle. You're a cool one. I come. Your age?
No more. Not so more.
Look, yes? What? What, Sergeant? That young man for me? Oh, for her. All right, send him over.
No! Oh, no. No, you go home.
Sit down.
Papa's dead. All be quiet now. You better go from here.
I just was home.
What's your name?
Jim.
Where were you all evening?
Out.
I asked you a question.
With friends. Yes, Mama, I was home.
You saw?
I got home right after they took you.
You saw on the floor?
I saw.
Turn around to the desk here, please.
I didn't kill my stepfather, Lieutenant. I know you're a lieutenant because the cop at our door told me it was Lieutenant Douglas took Mama.
I'm not sorry, Jim.
No.
We fight.
Again, huh?
I took too much. Be there. He want big story. I tell truth. We fight. I get the meat knife first. Jim, Jim, you tell him what kind of people we are. I no got big story.
I want a full and complete statement.
I tell truth. It's not good enough. I kill him. Goodbye. Lock me up. That's all.
Edie.
Yes, sir. Yes, Lieutenant.
Book her. Murder one.
Yes, sir. Come along.
Wait a minute.
Hands off, mister.
Can I talk to my mother a minute?
But make it a minute.
Mom, Mom!
T.S., get me the district attorney's office.
Mom, what do I do with Mr. Parra? The body, they're taken to the morgue.
Well, as soon as he comes in, then. For arraignment in the morning, right. Mm-hmm. You can't have the body until the autopsy's complete.
Then you bury him. Come, police lady, you take me. We go. I see you. Maybe they let me again, Jim.
Sit down.
You can't do anything to me.
Do I look eager to?
He wasn't my father.
I just gathered that.
To me, he was always Mr. Parle. He was no good.
So she told me two or three times.
Beat him. She tell you that, too? Used to beat me. Till I gave it to him one night. He realized I'd gotten too big.
How old's your mother?
Didn't she tell you?
Age.
59, she says.
She employed?
25 years she supported him.
Where? Where? I asked you where.
Cleaning woman, the Acme office cleaners and polishers. They handle...
I know who they are.
Catch me working, knocking my brains out 25 years.
Your mother ever arrested? What's funny?
My mother is the biggest sucker you ever met in your life. I'm not surprised over why she did it, but I never expected... I thought she'd work herself to death putting up with that loudmouth drunk. I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised.
You are, eh?
That she actually killed him.
You can go. Better arrange for a lawyer for her.
With what?
The court, then. The court will appoint her one.
Yeah, I hope. Her language. She always wanted to go to night school. How could she? Yeah, the language. She don't handle it too good.
Squad Room, the true-to-life enactment, continues in a moment.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. For example, a modern commercial transport flying from San Francisco would reach Honolulu in a matter of hours. So let's say that you're going to the Hawaiian Islands for the first time. Although there are many reefs and shoals included in the Hawaiian chain, which make it the longest group of islands in the world, you'll probably find that Hawaii is the largest island of all. Probably the most well-known of the group, however, is Oahu, because it's the most highly developed. 70% of the territory's population live on this bit of land, 40 miles long by 26 miles wide. And it's here that famous Honolulu combines old Polynesian traditions with big city conveniences and facilities. Being in a territory of the United States naturally accounts for the Hawaiians following the American democratic way of life. However, they do have laws and quaint customs that are still their very own. Respect them, and you in turn will be respected as a fellow American citizen. Hawaiians are a hospitable people who want to be friends. But remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Squad Room.
Edie, I'll need you in a minute. Lieutenant Douglas, 1st Division Detectives. Who? Oh, yes, we're ready for you, Mr. Prosecutor. The woman's name is Maria Parle, P-A-R-L. She admits. Yes, sir, she's ready to plead guilty. I booked her on a... Well, she claims a struggle, fight. This was her second husband, married to him 25 years. Him? Well, she says a no-account leech, monkey on her back. Uh-huh. Him? Well, what she claims, drunk 25 years.
Want me, Lieutenant?
It's 8 now. Have her over to you by 8:30. Right. Bye. So long. He's in for a surprise.
On Mrs. Parle's attitude?
Bring her up from detention and get her over to the prosecutor's office.
I killed him, she says, and she's waiting to be punished. You look beat.
I swing now. I think I'll sleep the whole 24 hours.
Go ahead, sir. I'll hold it for you. Policeman Ross. Yes?
Sergeant Allen will be right back. You drink the coffee he's bringing me. What's the matter?
Hold, please. Missing persons. They had a complaint on a Mrs. Marjorie Filene, a housewife. 2400 West Elm disappeared on her way to a company party. Sergeant Flannery Communications wants to know if you have anything on it since it's our precinct.
No. Why? Why query us on a routine missing?
I'll tell him that I can't find you. You left, sir. Right? You look real beat.
All right, thanks. Hold the fort.
He's not around, Sergeant. He's been on a 36-hour. I guess he left. Yes. What?
And Forrester, don't forget the triplicate on Mrs. Parle. You better get started, Edie. Get the Parle woman to the prosecutor. It's 5 after. Bye, everybody.
Lieutenant, wait up. I just saw him, Sergeant. Hold on. Lieutenant, I'm sorry, but that wasn't routine.
What is it?
On that missing, you know Flannery by the time he got around to it. A man in a car found someone lying in a ditch on Highway 1, mile from the state line, woman, young, bullet hole in her head. I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
Well, I'm sorry, too, but it happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
This is Douglas. Yes? Highway 1 near the line is our precinct, yes. Well, tell the coroner I'll meet him out there. It's this Mrs. Marjorie Filene, 2400 West Elm, yes. I got that. Housewife, Filene, you're sure? Forrester, cover. Sign me out. I'm going over on an extra tour. Come on, Edie, get that Mrs. Parle, that cleaning woman.
Oh, yes, Lieutenant.
It's 10 after now.
Good Lord.
Are you the husband?
Yes, I.
Sorry for your trouble, Mr. Filene.
Police car just came and brought me. We were to meet at a party, officer. Gay, you know.
You identify this woman? Now, please, try.
Lord, it's a shock. I don't feel.
Now, easy. Please. I know.
Well, I was to meet her. She never got there. I came straight from work. At the party, no one had seen her. She's been lying here in that dirty ditch who knows how long.
Well, that's one of the things I want your help on.
Well, I was at my office all day. She was supposed to be home till it was time to meet me at the party. It was a big party, company party. I don't know how this will affect my chances now.
Chances of what?
Well, the fact she didn't show at the party and now all this bad publicity. I feel better now.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes, it's time for the train. I mean, around 8:30, isn't it? I didn't take my watch. I was in such a hurry.
A.M.? Do you expect me to believe that you had no knowledge of where your wife was all this time?
I mean, no. I mean, of course, I didn't know she was lying here murdered in a ditch.
Let's start over.
Yes.
You worked at your job yesterday. By the way, what do you do, Mr. Filene?
Manager, the Westbrook Corporation. Entire facilities in the tri-state. That's why I'm so upset over her not being at the party last night. I'm up on the top team.
Now, just a minute now.
Of course, I'm terribly upset about what happened to Marjorie here.
Sergeant, take this man downtown. I think you should be, mister. Face down, shot and killed, your wife, found her at 8 a.m., a bullet in her head.
I did call several hospitals when she didn't come home at all last night. It sounds worse than it is. You see, we haven't gotten along well lately, and I didn't want any divorce because of its possible effect with the company. All right, take your mitts off. I'm coming with you.
Sergeant Allen's on 6, sir. Forrester's been holding down the room.
I got years on him. I'm only on 44 hours without sleep now. We found her car. Abandoned down under the arch at the foot of Lower Mulberry. Send me some coffee, Edie.
How about a ham and egg and some butter strips?
Just coffee. Make it 2. Found this in her car.
Purse. Party purse. Really stained, isn't it?
You should have seen the blood. Inside the car, I mean. Also found a fifth of fine whiskey. A 32 caliber rifle. Ballistics should call in a minute on the gun.
Was she drunk?
It wasn't opened. Obviously, taking it with her to the party.
Neighbors have been calling the desk downstairs, Lieutenant. Nice woman, judging from the caliber of the people who called.
Where is he?
You mean you wish you could say the same for him?
Well, he's a prime suspect. Have him brought up. Otherwise, why should I care a fig about it? Sit down, Filene.
Yes,
sir. T.S., why can't I get a line out of... Well, how would I know you've got my plug pulled? If there's a call, put it in. I'll be with you in a minute, mister.
I hope there's no wrong impression.
Hello? Yes, I've been trying to reach you. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't talk too freely now, but the slug does...
I didn't kill my wife, Lieutenant, even if...
The slug mates with a rifle.
Maybe you think I...
Yes, definite signs of struggle where she was found. Her fur coat thrown, clothes torn. The dirt in the ditch all churned up. The broken eyeglasses. All right, keep in touch.
She had to wear glasses while driving, Lieutenant.
So I discovered from her driving license.
I didn't kill Marjorie, Lieutenant.
Mister, whether you cared or didn't care if your wife stayed out all night is your business. There's one thing in your favor.
I didn't kill her.
The pattern in this case is indicative of criminal behavior, not merely a husband and wife situation. However, who knows? You may have a criminal mind.
Oh, now look here.
It was hit and miss. Hurried, animal-like in its fury, and careless. Careless in the disposal of evidence. It indicates to us a tremendous desire on the attacker's part to get away and get fast. So fast, the rifle was left behind. I'm still going to hold you. Do you have anything to add? Take him back down. I got it. Lieutenant Douglas. Yes?
Lieutenant? Oh, you got the call.
You traced to whom? No, I can't believe it. You're positive? You're... All right, if that's the way it is, bring him in, Forrester. Yes, step on it. Back here to the squad room. Ballistics made a make on the serial through the manufacturer of the rifle. Traced to a hardware store. They'll be bringing him in. What's the dispose so far on Mrs. Parle? Too soon for the grand jury, isn't it?
Women's detention downtown is crowded, sir. Those dance hall raids. So the DA asked us to quarter her here. She's downstairs, sir.
All right. All right. When they arrive, tell Forrester I'm just sitting, waiting for him. Sit.
Hands off, that's all.
Jim.
Hey, come, they throw me out of bed. Don't you guys respect the wreath on the door?
Jim Parle. So now we've got two of you.
You can't prove anything.
We can. By means of the rifle you used and left behind.
So?
You killed the Filene woman.
I only wanted her money.
Money?
No, at the traffic light about a mile up from where you found her. I stopped her from starting up when she turned green. I got in. I asked her for her money, and then I was just going to blow and get away. She started to fight me, and the rifle went off. No kidding. So I drove down the road away. I pulled her out, but she wasn't dead. She started fighting again. Then all of a sudden, she crumpled up, fell into the ditch. I left her there. I drove the car away fast. I ditched it, and then I went home.
Her fur coat was pretty valuable.
I was afraid. Afraid to take that. Or even to take her watch and rings. All I wanted was money. Why'd she have to fight me? I just wanted money. Money to pay my stepfather's funeral expenses. To get my mother a good lawyer. My mother was very close to me.
Sit down.
That's all her life amounts to. She's gonna get the chair. I might as well get it too.
Squad Room, the true-to-life enactment. Today on duty desk as Lieutenant Douglas, Wynn Wright. As Jim Parle, Lawson Zerbe. As Mrs. Parle, Virginia Payne. Squad Room is produced and directed by Win Wright. Written by Peter Irving. All names are fictitious. Any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Bill Maher speaking.
We pause now for station identification.
You're listening to the RTC Weekly Download. Now listen to this.
Every once in a while, fellas, your letters asking for two famous comedians cause a young hurricane around command performance. So hold on to your GI hat, for here they come. Abbott and Costello.
Look, suppose you walk into a restaurant, and the waiter places over here a platter of beans, over here a great big juicy steak. Now, which one of these two would you eat?
I eat the steak.
You would. Do you know where that steak comes from?
A cow.
A cow. And you, just to satisfy your selfish appetite, you let them go out and kill a poor, innocent little cow.
Now I'm killing cows.
Do you know what that cow gives?
No.
That cow gives milk.
No, she don't. You got to take it away from her.
All right, never mind the remark. That cow gives milk. Who does that milk supply? Little babies. Little innocent cubs. Without that milk, they'd perish, die. But you don't care. Just so that you can have your steak, you let them go out, kill all the cows, and let the little babies of the world starve to death.
I'm a louse.
Nah.
I'm killing babies, cows, putting people out of work.
Do you realize what you're doing?
I'm wrecking the country just because I won't eat mustard.
Now, blame it on mustard. You still haven't answered one question.
Why don't you ask me something with a little sense to it?
Will you answer it?
Go ahead and take a crack at it.
All right.
Make it easy.
All right. Say you walk into a railroad depot. Any depot. Say the Grand Central Depot in New York City. Now, you walk into that depot and you buy a ticket. Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
All right, well, what are you buying a ticket for?
I'm not buying any ticket.
What are you doing in the depot?
Ask me that again, slow.
Now, don't get excited.
I asked you to ask me something easy, didn't I?
Simple enough.
Now, ask me something easy.
You're in the Grand Central Depot. What are you doing there?
I don't know.
Well, what does anyone go to a depot for?
Two or three things.
We don't... Look, I'm only asking you, what are you doing in that depot?
I'll go away.
That's the boy. Now, there's no harm in that, is there?
No, no.
Now, where are you going?
I'm going away.
Where?
Why don't you let it go at that? I'm going away and that's that.
But, I mean, you know where you're going.
I know where I'm going. I just don't go on a railroad station without knowing where I'm going.
I didn't see.
I know where I'm going.
Well, tell the folks out here where you're going.
I am going away.
Where? Where?
I'm going away.
Where are you going? You know where you're going, don't you?
Yeah, I know where I'm going.
I mean, there's no secret connected with
it. Oh, no, I'm...
You're not ashamed of where you're going, are you?
What I've got to be ashamed of?
Well, where are you going?
I am going away.
Where?
I'll go to Baltimore. I don't want to go, but I'll go.
Baltimore. What's the matter with Philadelphia? What have you got against
Philadelphia? I've got nothing against Philadelphia.
Then why did you have to pick out Baltimore?
I've got friends in Baltimore.
Suppose you had friends in Philadelphia.
All right, then I go to Philadelphia.
And what happened to your friends in Baltimore?
I'm not talking to them anymore.
Look, suppose your wife was in Philadelphia.
Then I go to Chicago.
Ah, what you...
Thank you, Abbott and Costello.
Next, it's Unit 99. We'll ride along with a man of the Sacramento Police Department via tape recorder. And now it's back to May 1954 and this episode of Unit 99.
KMA 907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air.
This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
What is your location, 99?
99, 3rd and K King.
Something on the fire?
Yeah, a file with beat man on lower K wants us to 940 him. The radio sergeant gave me the word just before he left the yard. There he is now.
Yeah, file, I understand that you have something here for us.
Well, this man came to me and told me that he had been rolled and robbed of about $400 about a week and a half ago on the other side of the river, and he woke up out of Yuba City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, I'm the next con. I got my discharge in my pocket. I showed it to you, Bob.
That's right. You're an ex-con on what?
Yeah. 476 APC and five priors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a heavy loser. I've always been legit. I mean, insofar, you understand my language, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I never snitched. Nowhere. This time I got hurt, by the wrong guy.
Do you know this guy?
Yeah, I know the guy. I know the guy that engineered the whole thing.
No, you tell Officer File about this fella?
Yeah, I told him about it. Bob, did I tell you about it?
That's right. I know who the fella is. Well, what are you going to do now?
I think we'll take him over to the detective office and let them talk to him and check out the Yolo County report on it.
Okay, you want us to take you over?
Would you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Have you any idea if this man is around here right now?
I know where the man works, and I know where he lives.
That person who did then rob me, rolled me, beat me, and so forth is known to me. That person is, and I do know that person well, is a ex-convict. A person, one of those people on parole who shouldn't be on parole. I speak that way because I speak from my own heart, because I'm an ex-convict myself. But I never hurt anybody.
Were you going to face him?
I'll face him. I'll face him in front of anybody and everybody. And I'll charge him with that which I know. And with a little bit of help and a little bit of sweating like I know the police department, with all due respect to them, I know that they'll get it out of him. I've tried to go legitimate. I finished a parole. A satisfactory parole.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'm making a snitch out of myself, yeah. But I'm one of those guys that went legitimate. One of those guys that's married with two kids. One of those guys right now that's got a little girl at the hospital, 13 years old, in San Francisco with polio. Yeah, I'm working. I'm making fairly good money, sure. That doesn't compensate for the fact that if I don't snitch on this guy here, if I don't get this guy taken care of, he's going to hurt somebody else even worse than he hurt me and hurt my family.
Well, now, how did he know that you had this money?
Because I broke the bill in front of him, and at the time he was tending bar.
Well, he knew all about your finances then beforehand.
Yeah, he sure did. He knew who I worked for. He knew the amount of money I made.
Well, we'll go up to Dick's office then and check this out for you.
Surely, and I sure will appreciate all the help you can give me.
Now, this is Detective Don Fox and Bill Oakes.
Can you kind of fill us in on this problem of yours now? Just tell us exactly what happened.
Well, just a week ago last Sunday night, for just a lack of something to do, probably a lack of excitement, I began to wander around the lower or west end of Sacramento, and wandering up 2nd Street off of I, someone called and hollered, and being inquisitive, I turned around and stuck my head in the door of this bar. And I, there at that time, met the person who did holler. Called my name.
Did you know this fellow?
I knew this fellow in Folsom, yes, sir.
How many were in on that deal?
Two of them.
He engineered the deal, you figure?
He engineered the deal.
Well, was there two other fellows besides him?
Yes, sir, there was.
Well, let's go into the actual crime itself now. I mean, how it happened. Where, did they take you out of the place? Did they invite you to go someplace with them?
Yeah, this happened? Guy, Benimic.
We'll make him the number one suspect.
He is the number one boy.
All right. And then we'll use the number two as a John Doe, right?
All right.
All right.
So I'm sitting between number one and number two here. Number one suggested he go over to Yolo and pick up his wife. And he asked me if I wanted to go along. Well, stupidly and innocently, figuring everybody is good people, which I should know better, why, I said, sure, I'd go along. And this number two guy said, well, he says, I might as well go along. We'll all go and get the wife and bring her back. So we got in the car and we went across the river. And after we wandered around out there in that Yolo County over there, I began to wonder, where is this guy going to come to meet his wife? And he stopped the car, and the guy sitting on the right of me said he wanted to get out of the car, and that's when I got clobbered.
You haven't seen any one of these three fellows since that time?
Oh, yeah. I saw one of them tonight.
What would you do if you found him in a position where you could do something to him?
Yeah, now I got to hesitate and ask you. Wait a minute, I'm not going to ask you nothing. Look. I guess myself, I'm just off of parole. I finished a satisfactory parole. I'd like to be a citizen. I'd like to be a guy that'd go right. If I wasn't a guy that wouldn't go right, that isn't trying to go right, I wouldn't come to the coppers, would I?
What did you, go to the penitentiary for?
Last time I went there for checks.
For checks?
Yeah.
How about the first time?
Well, I've been up for manslaughter.
How many times have you been in the penitentiary?
Five times.
Five times?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
44.
44?
Yeah.
How much of your life have you spent in the penitentiary, would you say?
About 22 years. 23 years, maybe.
Half of your natural life?
Half of my natural life. I've just gotten out of the point where I want to live and let other people live.
You want to be a citizen now and live like the rest of us do, is that?
If I didn't, I wouldn't come to the law.
What was the manslaughter deal?
That was in Nevada.
What was it? Fight?
Yeah.
Or automobile?
No. Yeah, I messed with my wife. I told him three times. Don't mess with my wife. Leave her alone.
Well, what resulted in that manslaughter? I mean, did you shoot him, or did you fight him, or what?
No, I beat his brains out against the telephone pole.
Do you think you've learned your lesson? You're going to straighten out and live the life of the average citizen? Well, why not?
Look, mister, for a publication or any place else, if I didn't think I could live, and I haven't learned enough, I wouldn't come up here to the police department.
We're going to try and locate the man who attacked you, and we will endeavor to see if it's not possible to get your money back.
You intend to prosecute these men?
Definitely.
All right. You'll sign a warrant?
I will sign a warrant.
We'll have to have you come up here and take you over to the district attorney's office. We'll get a warrant for these fellows.
I'll be very happy to go with you.
This five-time loser, who never hurt anybody except the man whose head he smashed, lost his newly found confidence in the police overnight. He apparently had a change of heart because he failed to appear to sign a complaint as he promised.
Unit 8 just got a call, 5300 block on Folsom Boulevard, of a man accidentally shot. Let's go out and see what it is.
A little wooden shack.
There are a couple of...
They haven't been getting along too well lately anyway. She's obviously been beaten up here. I don't know whether today or recently anyway, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. The other officers in there, I see there's three units out here.
Yeah, she's being questioned by the detectives now.
Okay, we'll go and hear it. Hi, Rellis. Where's the body?
No.
They took him over to the emergency hospital. Was he still alive?
Yeah, yeah.
Where was he shot?
Shot in the right, they said in the right chest.
Right chest?
Yeah.
Is this the wife in here?
Yes, this is the wife, yeah.
He was on the bed here at the time?
When we got here, he was on the bed.
And that's the gun he used?
Yeah, 22 automatic.
Well, how'd he fire it?
Well, she said he fired it, but... I don't know.
You know?
She stated he fired the gun himself.
He shot him through the right chest.
Shot himself through the right chest, yeah.
The policeman's gonna take me to jail, Mother. Because they don't believe me. They're taking pictures all around. They're gonna pick me pretty soon. I know it. Yes, ma'am. I'm not crying. Okay. She wants to talk to someone.
Okay, Rellis.
Who's this here?
My mother.
Hello. Well, we contact the hospital and... His condition appears all right at the present. We're going... Well, we'd rather not do that. We want to talk to him ourselves first. See what... we're going to check on his condition. That's true. But we have a couple of uniformed men taking her down to the station right now. But we don't know what for yet. The man's been shot. We know that. Well, we have to take her down and question her after we'll see what he has to say about it.
Mac Alexander, is this where he had fallen evidently off the bed over there where that pool is?
Not according to her statement. She said that she was in the other room. He was in this room.
In this bedroom.
This bedroom.
Yeah.
The door between the two were closed when she heard the shot. She came in, saw him sitting here on this, would be the left side of the bed, with the rifle beside him. In our investigation, we find an ejected cartridge in the same room with her.
In her room?
In her room.
Apart from this room here?
Apart from this room, and she states the door was closed.
Well,
she heard the shot.
That doesn't sound right, does it? How did you get your bruises and black eyes, lady?
She told us that they fight continually. Apparently, we find spilled stewed tomatoes in the kitchen floor, grease on the floor. She walked in there a moment ago and fell flat from the grease, broken glass here in the hallway.
They don't know how to lock the door, Mama.
Well, what are you going to do now? You want to take her down?
We're going to take her down with us.
And check the victim, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go down with you.
I'm going to talk to your mama.
Tell her we're going to be very busy. We want to go down to the...
They're very busy. Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. Bye now.
This is the detective division. Mr. Rausch of the district attorney's office just arrived, so he, along with detectives Mac Alexander and Rellis, are about to question the wife.
I understand that about 11:27, you put in a call. Is that correct for police?
Or my mother did. Your mother? I called my mother and she called you.
And she called. Mm-hmm. What did you report to your mother at that time?
I told her that Red was shot.
Did you tell her how?
And I said he was bleeding all over the bed.
Did you tell her how he got shot?
No, I just said he was shot.
How long after your husband was shot did you call your mother?
Right then, as soon as I went in there when he hollered for me. I don't know when he shot himself.
Just what occurred at your home this evening and about what time?
in regard to this shooting?
Nothing. We just had an argument. And I went to the bed, to the other bedroom.
What was the argument about?
Because I wouldn't fix his supper.
How long did the argument continue?
Not very long, because I got mad and slammed the door.
And then what happened?
I went to bed.
Did he go to bed?
I suppose so.
Did you go to sleep?
Yes, sir. I get dozed off, I guess. But he turned off the television.
Then what occurred next?
He came in and kissed me goodnight. And I told him to get out.
Then what happened?
He went and closed the door, I thought. I've been saying all the time that the door was closed. I don't know if it was closed or not, but I think it was closed. I'm so befuddled, I don't know nothing.
What was the next incident that happened that you recall?
I heard him hollering for me.
What did he help him? What did he holler?
He said, "Come and help me."
And did you?
Yes, sir. I jumped up and turned on the light. See, I didn't turn on my bedroom light. I turned on his. Because it's right there by the door as I pass his bed.
And what did you say when you turned the light on?
Blood all over him. And it scared me.
Where was the blood?
All over him.
What else did you notice?
Nothing until he told me to call the doctor, and I called Mother because I didn't know what to do.
Did you see a gun in the room at that time?
It was on the floor, and I picked it up.
Did you hear a shot at any time?
No, sir.
You did not?
No, sir.
Did you at any time pull the gun from his grasp? Did he at any time have the gun in his hands while you were in the room?
No, sir.
Did you ever touch that gun?
Yes, sir.
I mean, after you noticed it in the room near your husband.
Sure, I picked it up and put it in the corner.
Well, you picked it up and put it in the corner. Mm-hmm. Did you attempt to eject any shells from the gun or pull on the trigger of that gun?
No, sir.
What type of gun was it?
No, it's Mother's 22 automatic, I think.
Where is that gun usually kept?
In the closet. I've been trying to learn how to use it.
Is the gun kept loaded?
Yes, sir. I'm expecting trouble.
What kind of trouble are you expecting?
John's going to come on and beat me some more, and when he does, I'm going to kill him.
Who's that?
My second husband.
Your second husband?
Yes, sir.
Did you see your husband take the gun from that room?
No, sir.
Last night?
No, sir.
Did you know he had it in his room?
No, sir.
A spent cartridge case was found in your bedroom. Now, can you explain how that...
No, sir.
...cartridge... In other words, that would indicate that the gun was fired in your bedroom and not in your husband's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
I don't know.
Okay, then can you give me any explanation why that cartridge casing is in the middle of your bedroom?
No, sir, I sure can't.
The victim may be able to talk now. We'll go out to the hospital and get his version.
He's in pretty bad shape right now. We think he probably had some of his lung collapsed. And now we're trying to get him upstairs so we can get a picture and get a surgeon tonight.
We'd like to talk to him if we can. Can you tell us what happened over there?
Hey, something. I fell arguing with my wife and grabbed the gun and I just went off too fast.
Why did you shoot yourself?
Huh? Well, I was trying to get the gun. She had the gun, you see. And I grabbed it. I got the gun.
You say she had the gun in her hand?
Well, she started to get the gun, and I grabbed it, see? And then she grabbed it, and I up and shot.
Why would she get the gun?
Huh? We just arguing.
Did she threaten to shoot you?
No, she never threatened. That's trouble if I can't figure it out.
Why did she pick up the gun, then?
I had the gun there, and she's in the corner, see? When she reached me for it, I grabbed it. She never threatened me or nothing.
Which one? Were you wrestling all over the gun when it went off?
Yes.
But it's pointed towards you.
Yes, sir.
And then she had to hold the other end of it?
Yes, sir.
Did she say why? I mean, did she give you indication that she wanted to shoot you?
No, she didn't.
What was the argument about?
Well, first one thing, then another. I was drinking pretty heavy.
She had to hold the butt end of the gun then,
yeah.
Huh? Did she have her finger on the trigger?
Well, I can know that. I know that time.
Well, you didn't have yours on the trigger, did you?
No. But, that's all right, it's safety, all right, shoot.
Was the gun loaded? Who loaded the gun?
I always kept it loaded.
You always kept it loaded, yes, in the house?
Yes, sir.
Any reason for that?
Well, yes. Her ex-husband. He was threatened both of us before.
Where did this argument take place?
In the night out there.
Well, I mean, what part of the house was it?
In my bedroom.
In your bedroom?
Yeah.
Is that where the shot was fired,
yes,
in the bedroom?
Yes,
that's the first room you enter when you come into the house.
Yes, in the side.
Doctor, where are you taking him now?
We're taking him up to X-ray.
The sheriff's
lot there.
Thank you.
What about this now, Rellis?
Well, we'll have a temporary charge, a holding charge of assault with a deadly weapon on her.
You're going to take her down?
Yes, we're going to book her.
There were a few unexplained circumstances involved in this shooting. The stories of the man and woman varied in several respects. About the only points on which they agreed was that there had been an argument and he had been shot. Inasmuch as the victim insisted he was shot in a struggle over the gun and that his wife had made no threats, she was released without charge. The wound was not fatal.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.
The RTC Weekly Download is produced by Chris Stone and Jim Dolan.